For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Glory to God. Let's open in prayer tonight. We come around the Word of God, the Word of healing especially. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your wonderful benefits, including healing, that you daily load us with. And Lord, we ask that tonight you speak to our hearts, you show us your ways through your word, and I ask that by your Spirit you move amongst your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Tonight we're looking at with healing in his wings, with healing in his wings. And so let's have a look at where that is talked of in Malachi 4, verses 1 to 3. And we'll start to go through the scripture and look at a few areas. The Bible is very clear that God is the healer and that he has provided healing for his people. But he requires faith. In fact, Jesus several times said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." So there is a faith link to the things of God, and that's something very important for us to understand, that faith link. So looking at Malachi 4, we'll look at the first three verses. "Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." The wicked are not in a good position, are they? The Bible says, "He that despises God's word shall be destroyed." And we're not people that despise the word of God. In fact, we're in the category of fearing the name of God, and specifically fearing the Lord Jesus Christ and his name. And we see that we're under that category in verse 2. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." So we know that Jesus is the light of the world. He is compared to the sun, S-U-N. And you'll notice that it's a capital S there. So this is one of his titles, Son of Righteousness. So he shines forth his righteousness, his right standing and right way. And we know that the fact is that if we fear his name, then unto us he has and does arise with healing in his wings. Now, what does that mean, with healing in his wings? Well, that talks of God's care and protective covering from evil, because healing comes from God. Healing and health comes from the Lord, and God's protective covering and care is over us, just as a hen would be over its chicks in a protective way. Now, we have to understand that there is healing and health that is protective for God's people. Protective from what? Well, if you fear the name of God, if you fear the Lord Jesus Christ, fear God, then you are in that category where you are allowing God's will to be done in your life. And that's very important, because then you see that you are redeemed from the curse of the law. You are blessed and not cursed. Okay, and we saw that the wicked are in a cursed state, and the righteous or the just are in a blessed state. There's many scriptures that talk about that. Let's have a look at Psalm 91, verses 1 to 10. We can see more of God's protective covering and his care for his people in Psalm 91. And no doubt you've read this before, but let's turn to it because we need to see it with our eyes and hear it with our ears and allow it to come into our hearts. Even if we know this off by heart, we should be allowing the Word of God to come to us afresh each time it is preached and taught. And that's important for us to see. So we're looking at Psalm 91 verses 1 to 10. And we're considering that there is healing in God's wings. And notice what it says. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So there is a secret place of the Most High that the devil can't get to. Okay? There is an abiding under the shadow, that is the protection, the care of the Almighty. And notice what you should be saying. And this is a very important thing that should be in our lives. That is, we take the Word of God and we say things. We say it. And we believe it and we say it. Because the word of faith must be in our mouth and in our heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if we're speaking things of doubt and fear of evil and so on, then that's going to be a real problem. But notice what it says in verse 2. I will, an act of your will, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Noisome pestilence is that type of sickness that can be prevalent, and you can stand even in that presence of sickness and disease around. Verse 4, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. We know God's word is truth, and His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. So we see that protectiveness, that protection, buckler, a small shield. So we see that God's truth is our shield and buckler because He has spoken it. He has put it in the earth today. He wants His people to walk by faith, not by sight. And even if there's noisome pestilence around, He's going to cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Verse 5, Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence. Once again, talking about disease and sickness. The pestilence that walketh in darkness. Okay, that's talking about a spiritual darkness. It's not talking about anything good to do with pestilence. We should never associate sickness and disease with goodness or light, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. God's protective power, His desire is for these things to be kept away from us. The noisome pestilence, that we see here, the pestilence that walketh in darkness. God doesn't want us near us. God doesn't want it near us. Verse 8, Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Once again, we see the wicked do not have a good reward. They don't have the same protection. There's lots of fear amongst the wicked. Not the fear of God, but the fear of evil. Lots of fear and torment amongst them. Verse 9, Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. So once again, plague, talking about a type of sickness and disease. God doesn't want it near you. But you've got to trust in the Word of God. You've got to use that truth as your shield and buckler. You've got to speak of the right things. For example, what is saying in verse 2? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. But God has healing in his wings. And as we're trusting in him, we see that neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And so let's believe that the Lord wants his people to be in a good place, to be in a blessed place, to be in a healthy place, to be in a healed place. Because where does healing come from? Well, it's not coming from the devil. It's not coming from any place but God. And even doctors, they are harnessing that restorative healing power that's already in the body. Okay? So we need to understand that God has put that in the body. And you know that if you cut yourself, it heals up. And things like that. So looking at Deuteronomy 7, let's have a look at Deuteronomy 7, verses 11 to 15. And we'll look more about what God's will for his people is in the area of healing. So when God has healing in his wings, he is protective of his people. But they've got to trust in him. And they've got to use that truth as their shield and buckler. It's no use the first time a symptom comes, you react in the wrong way and say, well, this will be with me forever sort of thing. No, you look to God. You look to him. And as you're looking to him even now, you can say, well, I trust you, Lord, and I'm believing your word. Deuteronomy 7, starting from verse 11, and we'll go to verse 15. And notice what it says here. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Now, there are commandments in the New Testament as well, okay? And we are commanded. The Lord Jesus Christ has given many commandments. And he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, so don't think that there's no commandments in the New Covenant. It covers the Old Covenant, and it's better than the Old Covenant in its promises and what it accomplishes. Verse 12, wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. Well, we have a merciful covenant, mercy in our covenant, in the new covenant. It has not been done away with. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ is showing that mercy to his people. Verse 13, and he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thine kind and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. So you can see a robust health and prosperity in verse 13 is God's will for his people. He will love thee and bless thee. That's God's will for his people. Verse 14, thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you, or among your cattle, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt. Notice he calls the diseases evil. Remember, we saw that the pestilence walks in darkness. So let's read that again from verse 15, beginning of verse 15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Once again, we see that the wicked are not in a good place. They're in a place where they are open to evil diseases. God has stated that he'll take away from thee, and thee is you singular, so it's a personal thing here. Take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt. And of course, we've come out of Egypt or the world and into God's glorious kingdom. And it says that none of those evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, we've known it all our lives from the past upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. You see, there is blessing for us, There is curse for the wicked, and it doesn't matter what it looks like, that's the reality. So we look at the word and we say, well, the word is true, and sometimes you know, what might be around you might not seem that way, but that's not the right thing to be doing for us. We know that there is God's protective power that we're looking at tonight. We're seeing that there's healing in his wings. In his covering, there is healing. There is that covering from evil. Okay, let's continue on. Psalm 107, verses 15 to 22. Let's look at that. Psalm 107, verses 15 to 22. You know, the Word of God is filled with instruction about healing, by which we can take and receive of that and understand more and more about it. It's very important for us to understand the Word of God with respect to this area. So looking at Psalm 107, starting with verse 15, and we'll go to verse 22. It says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." There's a lot we could say about that. The Bible says he makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. Well, the unjust don't know that they're blessed in that way, you know, that they even have life to be able to live in the natural. Okay? They have an opportunity to turn to the Lord, to believe the gospel. They don't know. But the desire of the psalmist here is, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. They're the barriers. Verse 17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Notice that. Are afflicted. Once again, the wicked are not in a good place. Verse 18, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Now that's a good thing, isn't it? People in their trouble should not be looking to men or women, but should be looking to the Lord. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And verse 20 is a real key for us. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Notice that? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. In other words, men can trust in God's word and walk so that sickness is taken from the midst of them, so that they trust in the protective power of the Lord, because they fear his name, and that he has healing in his wings. There is blessing under the protective covering of God. Blessing is available for the people of God. So looking at we'll start from verse 19 again. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them. There's salvation, isn't it? Saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Another scripture says that he redeems our life from destruction. So there is redemption available. Verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. One of the greatest works, in fact the greatest work that's ever been done by the Lord, is the work of salvation. The work of salvation, of which he has provided spirit, soul and body, complete salvation. We should be opening our mouths and our lips and giving praise for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We should be offering, as priests of God, sacrifice, the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. So let's look to the Lord and be giving that sacrifice of praise, even if there is darkness around us, even if there is that pestilence that's walking in the darkness. And let me tell you that when you get your focus onto the Lord, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, when you get your focus on the Lord, you're focusing on the right thing. You're focusing on the good things. I lift my eyes up to the hills from whence my help cometh. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my healer. Glory to God. These are things we need to put into our mouths, into our hearts, believe it, and speak it out of our mouths. A word of faith. Glory to God. Let's have a look at James 4, verses 6 to 10. James 4, verses 6 to 10. So looking into the New Testament, we see that there is indeed the provision of health and healing for the people of God. And the Lord is wanting to get healing to his people, and he provides various ways of doing it. He sent his word and healed them. We can believe the word and say, I believe that. I receive my healing. I believe that. I know that God is the healer. I know that he wants to take sickness from the midst of me. I know that by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, I was healed. I know that he has redeemed my life from destruction. Not will redeem. If you're a saved person, he has redeemed you from the curse of the law. He has redeemed your life from destruction. By the stripes of Jesus, ye were healed, not will be healed, but were healed. The accomplished work. So what did I say before? Faith connects to that provision of God. Faith connects to that healing that's in the wings of God. Let's have a look at what it says here. We're looking at James 5, verses 13 to 16. James 5, 13 to 16. That's what it says here. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I just want to concentrate on a few areas here. Is any sick among you? Okay, so he's asking that question, is any sick among you? He doesn't say, well, let them stay sick so that they can give glory to God, does he? Doesn't say that. It's not God's will for people to be sick, to be with infirmity and so on. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. That's a faith act. That's a faith act. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I'm going to pray over anyone that would like it today. By responding today, you'll be calling for the elders of the church, and we will pray over you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. So it's in the name of Jesus. And notice it says in the prayer of faith. See the word faith there. Shall save the sick. Save talks of salvation for the sick. Okay? If the prayer of faith is talking about saving the sick can say, well, when I'm prayed over, when I'm anointed with oil, I receive my healing in the name of Jesus. So there is a connection point with that oil being, and that oil, of course, represents the anointing of God, the connection with God in the Spirit. Okay, so it is representative of that. The oil just by itself is not miraculous or anything like that. It's a connecting to the provision of God the salvation that God has available for his people. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And notice that last bit there in verse 15. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So a person does need to make sure that sin is out of their life, and even ask for forgiveness from the Lord. Could be, I won't go through a list of sins, but it could be all types of things. But you need to say, Lord, forgive me my sins. I repent of that. So that doesn't get in the way of you receiving your healing, because sin can be a barrier. I think we all understand that. And it saps or drains away your confidence in the Lord. We have to be honest people with ourselves and with others, of course, and with God. God sees your heart, so there's no use being dishonest with him. God sees your heart. And if you know that there are things you need to get right with the Lord, you have to do it if you want to connect properly with the Lord. Okay, so God is giving us a way here for us to go forward. Notice in verse 16, confess your faults one to another. It's not talking about necessarily a sin, but your fault might be, oh, I've ignored you in the past. I'm sorry about that. It is a fault of mine that I'm going to correct. Something like that, you know. It might not be a particular sin as such, but you may have just been a bit thoughtless. That's one example. I mean, I could go through dozens of examples. But we all are going towards being conformed to the image of Christ, being more and more like him. Okay? So we are all in the race, pressing on, pressing going forward. Okay? So we're all going forward if we're walking by faith. So confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Why would you pray? Why would the brethren pray for each other unless it was God's will for you to be healed? Can you see what I'm saying? It is God's will for his people to be healed. Prayer has not been done away with. The prayer of faith has not been done away with. It is available. We've seen that it is available under God's protective covering. He does not want pestilence, infirmity, sickness amongst his people. That's why he says, is any sick among you? And then he provides a solution for them. And we need to take seriously the word of God if we want to connect by faith with what God has said. And the end of verse 16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's no use praying one day and then forgetting your prayer the next day and acting completely the opposite to what you've prayed the day before. You've received one day and then the next day, or I don't feel as though I've received, so therefore you start to disconnect from God. No. You say, I believe the scripture, and I believe that as I've been prayed over, or as I have prayed to the Lord as a righteous person, that's availed much. That has connected to God. My faith has made me whole. Glory to God. Let's finish with 1 Peter 2, verses 20 to 25. 1 Peter 2, verses 20 to 25. I want you to see what it says here very clearly. A lot of people just quote verse 24, and that's fine most of the time, but I want you to see the context of it. 1 Peter 2, starting from verse 20, and we'll go down to verse 25. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently, but if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Okay, so there is suffering whilst we're on the earth. Just understand that. Verse 21. But it's not suffering under the hands of sickness or disease that God wants for his people. Otherwise, he would not have provided healing. Verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So how should we follow him? Okay, he's a perfect example of someone who did no sin, so we should be seeking to do no sin as well, shouldn't we? He's a perfect example of someone who didn't have guile in his mouth, that is, he wasn't deceitful or telling lies. Should we be, as we're conforming to the image of Christ, should we be like that as well? Yes. No guile in our mouth as well. He's an example that we should follow in his steps. Verse 23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. Well, he was the one that told us to love our enemies. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Should we be committing ourselves to God that judge righteously? He will. He will. And indeed, you can pray for your enemies that they be rewarded according to their works. Could very well do them good, shake them out of their complacency. Okay? There's many that will be rewarded because they're despising, rewarded according to their evil works, because they're despising the word of God. That's not us, though. We're not despising the word. We're believing the word. We're putting it in our hearts. We're meditating on it. We're speaking it. In verse 22, who his own self, that's talking about Jesus, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, okay, so we shouldn't be connected to sins or the sin life, should we? Should live unto righteousness. That's where our life really is, living unto righteousness. We do it through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, won't turn to it, but it says we've received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, and we shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Okay, so it's very important that we see ourselves being dead to sins. Live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Okay, so we don't want to get that sin in the way, that sin that's often in the way. That type of thing can be a barrier to faith. Okay? And as I said before, God sees your heart, so there's no use trying to hide it. I'm going to give space in a minute for you, just between you and God, to get things right with the Lord. And then we'll give you an opportunity to be prayed for. Verse 25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Okay? Shepherd and bishop. So shepherd talks about his leading of your soul into good things. And if you've got a prosperous soul, what does it connect to? Prosperity and health. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And bishop talks about the leadership, particularly spiritual leadership of your soul. Okay? So here we see that by the stripes of Jesus ye were healed. Stripes are those lashings, those whippings upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So he took the curse of sin. He took sin. The Bible says it became a curse for us. And if you believe that, then it's important now to respond in faith, so that you connect to the will of God for your life. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. And first of all, I just want to give you an opportunity in the Lord, and particularly if you want to be prayed for tonight, you just say, Lord, there is this area in my life that needs to be fixed. You say it quietly to the Lord. Father, please forgive me. I repent of this, Lord. I turn away from it. And I turn to you. I turn to your word. I turn to you. You have healing in your wings. Forgive me, Lord. Wash me clean by the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And from this time forward, I believe that I've been cleansed. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your provision. In Jesus' name.